Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Amen. Praise God. All glory to Jesus. Amen. Pastor Shea, so you give thanks for, thank you, sir, for this honor. Amen. 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 All right, I want us to quickly do something before the word this morning. Fire led us in the song. Master Elah Savior. I want us to just receive from the Lord this morning. Choir, please come up. We are going to rise and sing that song. You won't just sing the song. I believe there are people that need the operation of him as a master. There are people here that need direction this morning. There are people here that need healing. There are people here that need, you need save salvation in one aspect of your life whatsoever. In just like 3-5 minutes, I want us to sing that song, and you are just going to connect to him. In that dimension that's related to you, if you need healing, I want you to key to the song as you worship God and receive healing. If it's direction you need, it's your master. He's going to lead you. He's going to give you direction. If it's salvation, you need salvation whatsoever aspect of your life, I believe that as we worship this morning, that is going to come to you in that regard. Can we go now? Can we rise to our feet and let's just in few minutes just connect and receive healing? I receive salvation. I receive guidance and direction this morning.
In the name of Jesus, let every sickness be gone.
Let yokes be broken. Let the power of addictions be broken. You are the mighty Savior. You are the mighty Savior. Let the power of addiction be broken. Let the grip of sicknesses and diseases be destroyed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for the anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we ask that you would grant us entrance into your word this morning. Let there be light. Say the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding unto the simple. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Can we be seated? Amen. This is not a long message. This is just like an exhortation. Let's just remind ourselves of a few things. Let's go to the book of Jude chapter 1. Yes, more or less the only chapter in Jude. Jude chapter 1. Amen. Jude chapter 1. Alright, Jude chapter 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our Lord, our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though he once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we know the scriptures here. Jude began to talk to the people. He said, beloved, I had an intention to write unto you of the common salvation. I wanted to remind you certain things that pertain to your salvation. I wanted to get acquainted with certain matters that has to do with your salvation. But while I was thinking about doing that, I also thought it necessary to exhort you and to encourage you to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. There are certain key things here that I think that we ought to note. He said, I wanted to write to you about the common salvation. He said, but I also now thought it necessary that there is also something apart from the common salvation. I needed to actually exhort you that there is need for a contention for a faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I thought faith is a gift. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now let's look at this scripture briefly. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that, meaning the faith, is not of yourselves. It is what? The what? The gift of what? God. In other words, nobody can come into salvation except the grace of God is administered unto you. Now, it's not saying that the grace of God can only become profitable to you unless you open up to it through faith. Do we agree? Amen. I'm trying not to look at the right too much today. Amen. But it's not easy for me. Hallelujah. Amen. Not those that I initiated will understand what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Amen. Alright. So, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. In other words, the faith you have in the grace was what saved you. Amen. You know, Jesus died for us by the grace of God. He said, he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. So it was by the grace of God that we eventually came into salvation. It was grace that sustained Jesus to be able to finish the work of salvation on the cross. At the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have ran back. He wanted to try. But of course, he could not. God sent him and he was able to finish it. So it was by the grace of God that that work was done. Now, that work will be useless to you as long as you cannot generate faith in it. Do we understand? Now, Paul is now saying that that faith is actually a bestowal. It's something that was given to us. No, you didn't do any exercise to have even believed in the first place. Amen. You didn't pray in the spirit. You didn't speak in tongues. Amen. You didn't speak in tongues. You didn't do anything. You didn't fast to believe God. It was by faith. It was the gift of God that was given to you. Hallelujah. And you came into salvation. Let's look at, I don't know, let's go to Titus chapter 1. Amen. I'm trying to be organized as much as I can this morning. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. I want to show us something that is, I think to title my own son, after the common faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. I've seen two things there. In the book of Jude, we saw common salvation. And earlier, we have seen common faith. Amen. And then he's saying that this common faith is actually a gift that was given to us. But in the book of Jude, we find Jude saying that we should contend for a faith. Hey, how do I contend for something? If it is a gift, it should remain a gift. And if I have to contend for it, then it is no longer qualified as a gift. You don't fight for a gift. Most of the time when you get a gift, it's just out of the benevolence of who is giving. So he's saying that not everything in God can be obtained on the basis of just benevolence. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the truth. There is what is called common salvation. Now, the word common is a very serious word. I've forgotten the Greek word for that word. But you know that same word is the word that was translated uncommon. Defiled. Something, according to the Jewish tradition, you know, Jews, there are certain things that are holy. So what he's saying here, if you want to bring it literally to the Jew, he say unholy faith. Yes. Unholy faith. Unholy faith. Another word, another interpretation of it means that which is open to all. That which is what? There is a faith and a salvation that is open to all. But that is not all. Titus chapter 2, that Titus chapter 2 we read. You will see a dimension of it in that place. Somebody will say, Odi, what are you saying again? It's not me, it's Paul. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation had done what? Appeared to what? To all. But if you stay there and say, well, the grace of God that brings salvation and appeared to all, and then what's the next verse? What is it doing? Teaching us that deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this what? Present world. So there is a dimension of the grace of God that has come to us all. There's a dimension of the grace of God. There's a dimension of the salvation of God that has been made accessible to all. Wherever anyone that receives of the gift of faith can actually step into it and receive of it. But that is not all. There is a next level that he wants us to be. And he didn't say all should contend. He said, I write to you to contend annually for the faith that was once delivered to all. Is that what? Take us back to Jude. Is that what he said? But when I gave all the to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Hallelujah. This is not the realm of all. How many of you were saints before you became born again? You were saints. We're all sinners. Condemned to destruction, condemned to lake, condemned to air, lake, and whatever. We're all susceptible to every good thing. We were wicked in our mind, alienated from God, having no hope. We were a set of godless people. Amen. Nobody was a saint before they believed. So if he's now saying that you should contend for the faith that was once delivered, so it means that now the once here, the once does not mean at a time. It means once and for all. There's no between once, that is sometimes in the past. No. There's no between, but I once gave you a bag. Do you understand that idea? I once gave, that means that I remember sometimes I gave you a bag. But when I say, I've given it to you once and what? For all. I'm not going to give it back. So there is a faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints. God is not going to do a repetition. He's not coming back to deliver that thing back. But what he's saying now is that there's a responsibility on you to contend for it. Fight for it. Hallelujah. Fight for what? Fight for it. Now, fighting for it is not only in the sense of living it. Number one, you have to first fight to understand what is this, what is the substance of this faith. Amen. What is this faith saying? What is the object of this saying? What is the subject of this saying? What is the faith talking about? When we have an understanding of what that faith is about, then we can now begin to generate energy by the help of the Spirit to enter into the reality that the faith is saying. Hallelujah. Listen. Some people say one saved, saved forever. Look at verse 5. I will never put you in remembrance. Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Hello? Was it all that came out that entered? No. He said, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. Excuse me. This belief. Is it the belief of become born again? Or the belief of possession? Hello? They all believed Moses to go out of Egypt. But they did not believe Moses to enter Canaan. Hebrews 4. 4:1. Let's quickly read 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise be left us of entering to the rest, any of you should seem to come short of it, yes? For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in what? In them that what? That heard. Now, my emphasis this morning is this, that listen, many times when we talk about the faith, people think that all we are talking about is the faith that initially brought people into Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what I'm trying to say is this, that even the people having been brought into Christ, after that they have believed the gospel of their salvation, they ought to press further and enter into the reality of a faith that is supposed to make them possess. Hallelujah. And we have said it over time without emphasis. We cannot begin to say that all over again. Now when we are talking about this other, we are not just talking about people making heaven ultimately. Amen. Amen. Because if you say that, you just water down the whole thing. We are saying that there's a reality in Christianity. There's a reality that God has come to give to men, that we need another level of faith to be able to enter into the reality of it. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at the latter part of this Hebrews chapter 3, you see Paul began to say things like that, who are the people he was angry with? Look at verse, I think the last verse in chapter 3 or thereabout. Take us a verse before. And to whom swear ye that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed what? Not. To whom he swear that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that what? That believed not. It was not just the people. Now, all the people believed Moses in Canaan. There were miracles. God gave miracles. God gave Moses certain miracles to do in the land of Canaan to be able to convince the people and bring them into the reality of that which God wanted to do. And then they all believed and they all came out. But they felt there was a shortfall in the wilderness and they could not all get in. And so what we are saying this morning, or what I'm trying to communicate to us this morning, that there is a a need, that there must be an urgency in us, we should know that there is a contention, we should know that there is a fight, that this faith is not just going to work into our hands, it's going to require some level of contention. And my business this morning is not even to talk about the fullness, I mean, to deal into that faith, or to talk about how we are going to contend. We can go and do that on our own. But there's something I just want to bring out. Hallelujah. That there are actually three phases of this journey. There are three phases of this journey, and we have seen the first year. The first is actually delivering the people from Egypt. Amen. Delivering the people from what? From Egypt. That was the first experience. That is when we begin to talk about our deliverance from hell, our deliverance from the, our being born again, bringing us into salvation. But there is a second level that we are supposed to enter. Take me to Obadiah chapter 17. Obadiah chapter 17. Are you there? Obadiah 17. Now look at it. All the three are here. But upon Mount Zion shall be what? Upon Mount Zion shall be what? What is the second one? And there shall be what? What is the third? The house of Jacob shall possess what? Their possession. Let me tell you something. When they all came out of Egypt, they had the first experience. Hello? But upon Mount Zion shall be what? Deliverance. And there shall be what? Holiness. And the house of Jacob shall do what? Possess their possession. Let me tell you something. The purpose of the wilderness is for number two experience. That is why the epic of the wilderness journey was actually the receiving of the tablet, the words, the testimony, and the tabernacle. That is the purpose of the wilderness. The purpose of wilderness is to prepare the people that are going to take possession. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The essence of the people the essence of the wilderness is actually to make the people holy. That's why I told them that I want to make you a kingdom priest. He has saved them. He has brought them out of Egypt. He has brought them out of captivity. He has brought them out of the house of bondage. But it does not stop there. Moses was talking somewhere. He said he brought us out that he might bring us in. So his purpose is, listen to me, there are two essences. One is bringing out. The other one is bringing in. But there is a midway, which is the holiness. Now, when we begin to talk about holiness, we will begin to talk about all kinds of things. Please, forget about those ideas of holiness. That's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about your hairdo and your earring. I'm not talking about all those externalities. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about an inner configuration that can accommodate God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. What is it? What did he say? Build me a tabernacle that I might do what? Dwell among them. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, you people cannot accommodate me. Hello? You can't accommodate me, but get a tabernacle. Let's get a house. We are going to build a house around in such a way that that house can be able to accommodate me. If you can receive the ministry of that house, then not just the house will accommodate me any longer. All of you will begin to accommodate me. Hallelujah. And that is the second stage of it. That upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. There is no possession if the people are not made holy. Take me to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. You see, we cannot begin to talk about the issue of... Before we go there, I think I should round up on that. Amen. Please, don't mind me. I'm sorry. Take me to John chapter 15. Take me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. You see, there are a whole lot of things that are associated with our being born again. There are a whole lot of things that are associated with our being born again. One of the things that are associated with our being born again, and the things that accompany it, you know, issues of like healings and prosperity and all of those things, are actually some of the blessings that ought to come with our being born again. But also apart from that, there is the dimension of cleansing that ought to attend to the soul. Let me tell you something. Nobody gets anything born again and leave this. God doesn't get people born again and leave their soul the way he makes it. There is an initial washing. Hello? Getting born again does not accomplish the work. But nobody gets born again and remains the same way they were. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. No, there is something that is called the washing of regeneration. I don't have time to take us to there. That was chapter 2. There's something that is called the washing of regeneration. When you get born again, you discover that some things naturally lead you. There are certain struggles that go out of your life by reason of getting born again. Some people find themselves begin to walk in certain things. And then there are certain things that you may struggle with for a long time. I was telling them in the class this morning, I said, Charles Spurgeon struggled with smoking almost till he died. Am I correct, sir? Yes. That mighty preacher. Prince of preacher. He struggled with smoking almost till he died. He left smoking at the latter part of his life. Now, that one should not, don't lose. You know, some of you say, for the respect, my tell you, I'm not respecting the game. Your own is with you. Anyway, me, I don't want to have any. So I'm not, Father, you know, I didn't say it to slight him, but I'm just talking before they corner me now. Hallelujah. Now, but what I'm trying to say is that certain things go, certain things stay. Now, look at this. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. These guys were not born again. But Jesus was able to attend to their soul to a degree. They were not born again. Their spirit was still dead. They were not born again. But there is a level of cleansing. The ministry of the word for them. For really, this is not even where we are going. That's why when you now get to John chapter 17. Take me to John chapter 17. John 17. You now see, when Jesus was about going, he's now talking about this issue we are talking about. John 17:17. John 17:17. Look at what Jesus said. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is what? Truth. This is not the same thing as being clean. Hello? I think you have capacity to receive what I'm saying. This is not cleanliness. This is holiness. Oyato. Now, Jesus was able to prepare their soul by reason, I believe one of the reasons why Jesus could not pierce through into this is because this realm is reserved for regenerated spirits. You need to be born again before they can take you into this level. Their spirit were not born again. So Jesus could not move into this realm, but at the same time, he was able to prepare the soul. Trusting that, he said, listen to me, I have many things to say to you. How be it, you can't bear them now. You can't bear them now. How be it, when the spirit of truth is come, he's going to guide you. One of the things, one of the opportunities you have for being born again is not that you immediately receive this ministry, but you have an open door into this ministry. But the truth is that you may die and not receive this ministry. Hallelujah. I have to close. Now, I don't know if I've been able to say anything this morning, but this is what, now, so when it was, look at, see, one of the ways we can help ourselves, let me close on this. One of the ways we can help ourselves is this. people get born again, learn to master, learn obedience to the to your inner oil. Hello? Learn what? Obedience to what? To the inner oil. When I mean inner oil, I'm talking about that anointing inside. There is an unction inside of you. 1 John 2. There's an unction inside of you. When you learn how to yield to that unction, are you getting me? You are preparing yourself for this state. When you disobey all the time the inner promptings of the ghost, you are denying yourself of this ministry. Acts chapter 1. Yeah, 2. Acts 1, 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Excuse me. Even for the spirit of truth to come, people had to obey that spirit of truth inside of them. Hello? Until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he what? Through the what? The Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost had not come in fullness. So how did he do it? He actually instructed them. Now, he did not give them this instruction directly. Am I correct? It's clear. After that, he through the Holy Ghost. So before the Holy Ghost, before the spoken tongue, they had commandment by their Holy Ghost. So listen, your first experience is not to speak in tongues. Be led from inside. Obey the inner. When you begin to obey the inside, this outward ministry will open. He won't communicate truth to them that disobey him inside. He won't. Have a rise to our feet this morning. I think one of the most important things of all I've said this morning is that people should, it's very simple. Forget all the other things around. Just get one basic thing. There is a level of, we have been saved to be saved. And you enter into that next level of salvation first when you begin to obey these things. If these guys did not obey the Holy Ghost in that, the Holy Ghost will not come. You are master, savior, healer. No one like you. No one like you. You're a master, savior, healer. No one like you. Saving me, but don't stop with me. You see, I have more to do with me. Just continue your work. Help me to press into the faith for the fullness of salvation. In the name of Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for delivering me from Egypt. But take me further. Help me to yield to the promptings of the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. In the name of Jesus, help me not to disobey the Holy Ghost.
It's grace, your grace.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pttchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you.
It's your grace.